episode 13 of The Upgraded Life. I'm going to bring you Jen Sider, and she's going to tell you about diet culture and the message that the media is pumping into you to influence the way you think about yourself and other people as it pertains to how you look, fitness, and weight loss. Jen's a certified eating psychology coach, and if you've ever wondered what a coach does or how a coach could help you with eating, diet, and fitness, well, then you're in for a treat because this episode of The Upgraded Life is going to center on just that. Here we go. Hello, thanks for tuning in to The Upgraded Life podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo. The Upgraded Life is my personal project where I help people realize and reach their potential. I've been a professional helper for 20 years. Here's what I'm convinced of. The life that you have right now and the life that you want tomorrow is a product of your personal mindset, mission, and movement. Each episode of the Upgraded Life podcast is going to give you something that you can do as soon as the episode is over to upgrade your personal mindset. Your mindset informs your mission. Your mission tells you how to move every single day. And together, that is the upgraded life. All right. I am here with Jen Sider, and this is episode 11 of the Upgraded Life podcast. So I've made it past 10. I'm now into number 11, which by some metrics say that I'm more than a fizzle. So, meaning that sometimes people start out and they don't make it past 10 episodes. So I'm more than a fizzle, and I've got some good momentum, and I'm hoping to hit that 100 episode mark here in the next 3 months or so. So I'm excited to have Jen here with me, and she is a fellow coach. And if I can say so myself, she is good at what she does, and I'm excited to have her here to tell us about herself and how she got into coaching and what it is you might be able to expect should you decide to work with Jen. So good morning and welcome to you, Jen. I'm going to hand it over to you, and I want you to just introduce yourself to the folks that are listening to this podcast. Tell us who you are.
Thank you, Nick. I'm happy to be here. So I'm a coach who helps people that are frustrated with their current diet to find freedom so that they can learn to be happy right now. Comes from my own story, a lifelong dieter. That's where my interest in this came from. And I guess, you know, you could say that I made my life and my meaning of happiness all about whether I was thin or not, or on my diet or not. That's what I was calling success. And I've since changed my way of thinking, and I'm excited to help other people do this same so they can enjoy their life more.
That's a great introduction to who you are and your approach to coaching. Tell us about the person of Jen, though. Tell us about you, where you live, you know, what your everyday life looks like. Who is Jen?
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm a wife to a wonderful guy who moved here from Germany to marry me. So that's a pretty special thing. We've got four kiddos, three teenagers, and one moving right into those years. So if I'm honest, the things I've learned about coaching, they help me out at home as well. We just got a little puppy, so it's kind of like having a brand new baby. And that's keeping everybody entertained and mom and dad on our toes. A little reminder of having newborns, but that's been fun. I do coaching during the days for clients and coaching, I guess, at home at night sometimes. No, but, I'm a social butterfly. I love my friends. I love to just laugh and have a great conversation. I like to be active, especially outdoors. Let's see what else. Ask me if you want to know something. Sure. Yeah.
I'm curious, what kind of puppy did you get?
It is a lab retriever mix. He's black.
Gotcha.
10 weeks old. Yeah.
Awesome. That is just like having a newborn, isn't it?
Yeah. We're trying to keep everything that's not food out of his mouth.
And what'd you name him?
His name is Coda. Yep. That's what the kids went with, and they're not totally sure, but we just stuck with it because, you know, with four kids, you got four big opinions and sometimes more.
Right. So here's a question, and it's a question that, you know, I'm not entirely settled on in terms of how I ultimately respond to it, but because you are one, because I am one as well, how do you describe or how do you define coaching? Like, what is coaching if somebody's hearing that term or considering, you know, embarking on their own personal development? How do you describe coaching?
Yeah. Well, interesting that you asked that, because I've thought about that a lot, because I've realized, you know, if somebody hasn't done it before, they don't necessarily know, but once you know, and I don't think you ever give it up if possible. Right. So Even coaches need a coach, kind of thing. So I've thought about this a lot, and in all reality, it's funny. I just was talking with my husband about it this morning that, and because we've talked about it enough times, he could answer it himself that, I mean, it's a little bit hard for me to just pop off a answer that I feel like is actually like, does it justice, like the value of what it can be for people. Mm-hmm. But I'd say it's somebody seeing your life from a different perspective. And when somebody sees what you're going through from a different perspective and can actually offer some good questions that help you to come up with your own solution, but with a different perspective, it's really powerful, because then you think of questions that you wouldn't necessarily ask yourself, right? So, yeah, I don't feel like that necessarily gives the term justice necessarily, but for myself, it's been the most valuable work I've ever done with other people, is investing in myself and, you know, paying what it took to have somebody help me see things differently.
Sure. I think that is a, I think that adds to the discussion about coaching and what it is. And if you break down what you said, you know, it's working with somebody that can provide a different or outside perspective. And along with that comes questions that you will be asked that maybe you hadn't ever considered, or because you don't have the same perspective as your coach or your potential coach, the way that the questions are formed and the things that the questions are getting at are things that you wouldn't necessarily have been able to come up with on your own. So I like that idea. And there's kind of embedded things in there too, right? And so that means to some degree, a coach has to have some perspective or a perspective to be able to provide that to the person that they're coaching, right? So that means it kind of implies that they've had to do their own work or they've been on their own journey in order to be able to sit with somebody and provide that outside perspective.
Yeah, agreed.
So let's just jump right in and let's hear about your journey. You're an eating coach. Let's hear your journey from how you got from Jen, not a coach, to Jen, a coach. Give us your timeline there.
Yeah. Well, I'll just summarize the years before I did any coaching with, professionally with people, I guess I'd say. Being a dieter, I tried, I think, most of the diets out there, starting about age 12. Took a look around. I was a little bit bigger than most of my friends, because I think I actually hung out with pretty thin people, and decided that I'd be better off if I was thin. I'd be cooler if I was thin. So started with Slim Fast and just tried everything else, right? So I was working on losing the weight over and over and over and over and just kind of let that define me until I just skip over lots of things in my life until about, I think, 3 years ago. I was a barista at a drive-through coffee shop and realized that a Curves Jenny Craig location in town was hiring, and I was looking for a couple hours. And so very not confidently, but looking for money, showed up to an interview to just kind of check it out. And when she started talking about how she needed both Curves coaches, it's a dual brand, but and Jenny Craig consultants, as she talked about both positions, I felt like I was much more qualified probably to help people with Jenny Craig. I don't know if I'd say qualified. I was qualified, but not confident, because see, at this time I felt like I was still so fat, although I don't know if that's the truth though. So I knew the Jenny Craig program. Basically, it just, the little booklet I learned calorie counting from wasn't Jenny Craig, the name brand. It was just kind of what I had done for years. And so I knew the value of like how many calories a person should have to maintain their weight, okay, or lose weight. Point of that being that I let her know that I was interested in being a consultant, possibly, but at the time she was looking for Curves coaches more than consultants. And so I went ahead and took the position of the Curves coach, with the hope of then becoming a consultant. So that was the beginning of coaching for me. If I'm totally honest, when I was in, I learned the Curves coaching method, and then I was the coach in the middle of the circuit, providing guidance to the gals on the machines. And the other job that I did while in that position was once a month we did coaching for the gals one-on-one. So it, on most days of the week, I showed up, stood in the middle of the circuit, gave direction, and kind of, you know, coached people as I saw things, but I was a group coach. And then once a month, we would meet with them for 5 minutes and go over results from the month, right? And I realized through that I really, the one-on-one, that it came supernaturally. It was just honestly a God-given talent. I didn't have to work at it. It was just something that I found fulfilling and came easily for me to encourage people and motivate them, especially one-on-one. And so then from there, we did that for a couple months. And the time came for consulting to be a training for Jenny Craig to be available to me, and it was time to transition into that. It was super exciting for me because I had honestly never really felt very good at anything in my entire life. And it just was, it was exciting. It was easy and natural was the thing. And really fulfilling for me. I just lit up in those sessions. It was really fun for me to coach people, consult with people. And so then I was a consultant for a year, maybe. I can't remember the exact timeline. But during that time, I was doing Jenny Craig myself, realized that there was more to the why of why dieting is so hard. And so although I got to goal, it was really hard for me to maintain that weight. And so I began to really search for more of the psychology aspect of coaching. Like if Jenny Craig, my whole life, I thought if I was just thin, I'd be happy. And then I got there and I thought I'd have it made, right? That was my fixed mindset. And then I got there and it was not the answer. It didn't provide all the things I hoped. So then I started to look and found the Institute for Psychology of Eating, and I just realized Mark David understood me. And so those videos that I saw really resonated with me. And so the rest is kind of history. No. So I did their training, and then now I'm doing psychology of eating training with people, and I love it. It's like a dream come true that I didn't even know I had, if sure. that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So more fun questions about coaching, right? And hopefully this is providing some insight and some education for folks who haven't really been exposed to coaching and don't really know what it is. So it's always the question of, how does one become a certified coach, and what does that mean? And are you certified? And there's several different schools out there about, do you actually need to be certified to be a coach? And, you know, some people say absolutely yes, and some people say absolutely no, and I'll loop back to that initial take that you had on coaching is, to some degree, it's about your degree of perspective and your ability to help people. So, but put that aside, you are a certified coach. And so walk us through your certification process and what were some of the highlights and how did it help you both as a person and as a professional coach be able to work with people?
Oh boy. let's see. So my, the certification training was 8 months long. And had a different module, so a different area covered about once a month, every month and a half. It went over many aspects of psychology of eating. So off the top of my head, one of them was mood and immunity, how that affects us. One of them, nutrition, one of them, body image and weight concerns. And I'm racking my brain, but off the top of my head, can't remember the rest. But the point being, there are so many reasons that people can have a challenging relationship with food and body. It's not just the people that are, as a former dieter, I would have thought, well, this is for people that are want to help people that are overweight, but really people that are underweight, they aren't necessarily nourished either, or people might appear to be super healthy, but if their mindset isn't healthy, their body weight isn't the thing, right? So really the training provided information to help many types of people. Not just what I would say is my ideal client or the person that I would, want to help. I'm willing to help anybody, right? But that wants to work with me. But I think that I really love to help people that are stuck like I was in really prioritizing my weight over many other things that are actually pretty important in life. And so I didn't have a great balance in my life. I did learn quite a few different aspects of psychology of eating, but I think that when all is said and done, I kind of chose to work with people that have, are focused on weight loss and body image. So that was one specific part of the training. And the rest of it, of course, did me much good, but that's probably the portion I focused on with, the people I've tended to work with. Let's see, did that answer
sure, absolutely.
Your question?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it's good just to kind of give a glimpse in, your process and, 8 months going through distinct modules and learning more than just calories in, calories out.
Yeah. Oh, and I did want to tell you, okay, so you had said something that earlier asked something that was really important for me. And it was actually really important for me to spend that much time with that training in my ear, because that's how I chose to take it. That's how I learned best. Just over and over and over being reminded why I was changing my way of doing things. Because, and I feel like this is important to point out to people, it's not like a one-time set and like all... hearing something and all is said and done, like you can just change. I didn't just change my mind, right? Mm-hmm. it was 8 months of listening to Mark David tell me why there's so many other reasons this is a problem for me, right? And being reminded over and over and over, yes, I don't want my life to revolve around dieting. I want my life to be well-balanced. And for me, I have three beautiful daughters. I don't want to damage them with my own like vanity issues, right? So that, honestly, when my husband had asked me, he's like, well, so what are you going to do with it? And I honestly didn't ever dream of becoming a business owner, coaching folks on the internet, right? I didn't have the confidence at that time to even like get started. But I had told him, even if all it does is change my own relationship with the scale and take away the value of that number, for like change, help me change that so that just for me individually, it changes, that was worth it to me. But beyond that, this is like how little I was thinking at the time. If all it was me, but then also I knew that it was going to affect my children. I had a 12-year-old, 13-year-old at the time, just moving into that, like, I might be fat. Like my friends, like they're looking at their fat and, you know, and it just kind of goes from there. It's totally normal to, for girls, especially like, I think as time goes on, it's more and more that way, a issue for people to, girls to be kind of obsessed with their weight unless they learn differently.
Sure.
It's kind of the day and age we live in, social media, all that. So anyway.
So you were looking for more, right? I mean, you were as immersed in Jenny Craig and curves as you could be. And as you described, achieved your goal. And along with that, some of the other expectations that you had attached to that goal just didn't come about. And
yeah,
you found Mark David and the Psychology of Eating Institute. And you did that for yourself. You did that because you knew that you needed something different, and realizing the modeling that you were doing for your own children. And I know we know each other quite well, right? So let's not pretend like we don't. And you're also modeling for your son too, right? You know what I mean? But for sure your daughters and your son. And I'm pointing this all out because this is often how, you know, anybody that pursues something in life, it almost always stems from something that was critical in their own life. Right. And so here you are, you bit off an 8-month certification course, not even intending to be a coach on the other side of it. Right. And coming through the other side of it, seeing the difference that it made for you, not just for you and you know, for your children and generations to come. And, you know, I'll throw this out there, and if it isn't your experience, you can correct me, but you know, you come to this realization of, if I can do this and this made such a difference in my life, there's got to be other people that are like me that need to hear the same message or need to have the same experience. So how do I find those people?
Yeah. Yep. Totally.
Yeah.
Because honestly, for me, I wanted to add the thing that was so powerful or so critical for me was I found that people I work with tend to be the same way. I needed to understand why. You know, Jenny Craig's a great program. It's a fantastic program. It gets people to goal. And I think for people that haven't spent 15, 20, 25 years on every plan out there, imagining their life, it's not about the program. It's about what's going on upstairs, right? So I needed to understand why, even though I got to goal, it didn't actually fix it, right? And so that's what kept me Googling until I found Mark David. Mm-hmm. And so then my point being, understanding the information of how our brain works, why it's so challenging, and hey, there's not, and honestly, it was empowering because he just kept saying, it's not your fault. You're not a willpower weakling. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Your wiring is just going that way. So now how can we like kind of teach ourselves that there's a different way, right? And so for me, I always asked why. It drove my parents crazy. I asked why so many times, but that's how I work. Mm-hmm. I'm that kind of person, right? And I think there's many people like you're saying out there who they want to know why. They want to know why they can't stick their day. And honestly, we start to blame ourselves because it's very common. Like you think, what's wrong with me? Everybody else seems to figure it out. But honestly, you're not the only one. So many people, 98 to 99% of people that are on a weight loss plan, they say that the studies show that dieters gain it back and more within 1 year. Mm-hmm. That's almost 100%. So yeah. Point being, diets don't really work. Mm-hmm. Lifestyle change works, right? Sure, so sure. A diet can be a lifestyle change, but I knew I didn't want to spend the rest of my life tracking what I was eating. Mm-hmm. So it's become more important for me to prioritize how I'm feeling over how I'm looking. And in time, it turns around, right? Because if you actually prioritize how you're feeling, the feeling of being too full or eating or drinking too much isn't a good feeling, right? So if we can value that more, I think that's going to help a lot of us, you know? So anyway.
Yeah. So I know your work. I see your live videos. I've seen the things in terms of ebooks and books that you've published, seen your blog posts. So I know that you are on a crusade, I'll call it a crusade, to educate and help people break free from diet culture. So tell us what diet culture is and why it's important for people to, one, know about it, and two, break free from it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, honestly, I didn't even know diet culture was a thing, okay? So that was just normal to me. That was normal to be obsessed with your weight. But once I really started looking at who specifically I wanted to help, I realized that diet culture was the common, or it's become more and more common, I think, message that it's better to be thin. It's better if you look a certain way. And that's usually very, honestly, probably not normally thin. I mean, sometimes you'll see plus size models, you know, but for the most part, models, it's not a realistic image, I don't think, especially for a grown woman. So diet culture, it tells us we're broken. There's something wrong with us. If we're not thin, we're not good enough until we're thin, right? And what I want to make sure my people understand is, you are the exact same person, whether you weigh 100 pounds or 300 pounds, like the soul that you are, you're who you are, regardless of what number you are on a scale. So that's actually one bit of advice that I like to give to people is that, you know, first of all, is it actually helpful for you to weigh yourself? And if it is, before you step on that scale, maybe think about all the things that you are good at, what you're successful at, what you enjoy about your life, what people value about you, and then you can weigh yourself, right? But to step on there and let that like ruin your day and your life, that's ridiculous. You're no different when you step on the scale and see a number higher or lower than you wanted than the moment before when you had no idea whether you'd lost weight or gained it, right? Mm-hmm. But we get kind of brainwashed. I think it's, you know, the media and day and age we live in, it's kind of sad.
Sure. Absolutely. So. Yeah. And I'm somebody that, has been browbeat by the BMI, right? So it's not just the media, right? It's when you go in and see your doctor and, you know, then they, you know, take your height and weight and then you get this report and the BMI categorizes you, you know, one way or another. And so this emphasis on weight is pretty pervasive in it definitely is part of, you know, popular media for sure, but it comes around in a lot of different ways too. Yeah. Go ahead. Well, your thoughts on that.
Well, it just triggered a thought for me that, that's true. And, the interesting thing about that is that's just literally a number that somebody decided at some point was healthy or not healthy. Like who did that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who was that person? And so then it's kind of a interesting thing, because your BMI could be on point, but you as a person, not you specifically, but the person, whoever, you know, a random stranger, right? Their BMI might be on point, but they might be so unhealthy mentally, mm-hmm. that they're not even a added benefit to society, mm-hmm. yeah. right? So it's, I really, really believe that my goal is to encourage a balanced life. And how I do that with people, in all honesty, is breaking it down to individuals. Like, who are you as a person? Who's your family? Who did you grow up as? What have you learned? What works? What doesn't work? Like, what do you enjoy? What not enjoy? And when you really individualize people instead of lump sum and everybody together, and saying everybody needs to be this BMI, or everybody needs to be this weight, or look like this. Like, we're all different. We're all wired different, created different, right? So that's what I do with people, is I'm really looking at them. That's how I differ from the other diets, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at, who are you as a person? What does your life look like? What's your past, your present, and what do you want your future to be? And how can you eat in a way that supports you become like being the person you want to be? So
yeah,
everyone's like very individual. Mm-hmm. So
like you were saying around some of the numbers for people that are dieting, that are trying to lose weight, right? We know that the health and fitness, and just even more narrowed down, the weight loss industry is big business, right? It's billions of dollars every year, whether somebody is, you know, buying supplements or gym memberships or doing things like Jenny Craig, books, you know, all of that stuff all put together, home workouts, you know, equipment for working out at home. That's all put together in a weight loss industry that's billions of dollars, and tens of thousands of people are trying to do something health and fitness wise every single day. So what is the typical person that's on a fitness journey or a weight loss journey? Like, what have you discovered, or what have you learned along your journey that the typical person is focused on that isn't ultimately going to be helpful for them in terms of kind of what they're doing every day, their mindset, how they filter information? Like, what is the typical person focused on that you have seen and discovered and experienced probably isn't going to be helpful?
Well, my immediate thought when you started kind of clarifying your question there was about quick fixes. You know, the diet industry, it's, that's because that's how people are wired. Like,
lose 40 pounds in 12 days.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that it's because it works. That advertising works for people. People want to see results, and that's all good, but, or not. But the point that I'd like to make is quick fixes, they're not a long-term solution, obviously, right? Like, those are opposites. And so I think that was like the biggest turning point for me, was when I finally decided, which was a hard, hard decision. I mean, it took weeks, maybe months, for me to give up this one number that I had decided I had to weigh in order to be healthy or happy or whatever I thought that was going to be, right? And what it boiled down to was, I am about the journey, not the destination. I'm not going to put all my happiness and joy and fulfillment in destination, that one weight, right? I'm going to live right now, today. We don't know how long we have. This current health scare, I think, makes that even more evident than ever, right? We don't know how long we have on earth. So why would I waste all my time and energy thinking about my weight? So I, point being, summarizing, I finally decided that I was done torturing myself. If I was going to make any changes with what I was eating, drinking, or doing, it had to be like kind of a commitment to myself. It had to be something that I actually was going to do for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I never get tempted or even kind of go off like thinking, oh yeah, and then I'm going to, you know, but count this or do this because I feel gross one day. But the truth is that if I change today, this is for me. If I change today what I'm doing and I count everything and then I get in a funky spiral, if I'm not going to do that forever, I'm not going to actually maintain that number. That's just, it's not rocket science, but somehow we get fooled, right?
Right.
So sustainable habits lead to sustainable results. So I decided that even if I stabilize, this was the final like thought there was, even if I stabilize at a higher number, even if I end up being a chubby grandma, I'd rather be a chubby grandma who's fun to be around mm-hmm. than be a stuck up, cranky old lady who isn't nice to be around and have no friends. Like sure. long term, that's what it leads to. It doesn't, you don't like struggle with it now yeah. and not work with it and end up being happy and thin. Like that's just not how it works, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided like, I'm going to make the changes that I can continue to make. For instance, I can have a baggie of vegetables for snack, like instead of just not being prepared. Like that's for me, that's like a, something I can continue to do instead of like, it's super loose. I might not lose weight from that, but that's something that is a healthy choice that I can keep doing. Right.
Right.
I can drink my water every day and I can make sure I get enough protein, which ends up in you're going to eat healthier food because your blood sugar is stable. Like that's the kind of, rules that I like to, not even rules, but like guidelines I like to provide mm-hmm. for people, like information that actually helps you be able to continue on with what you're doing instead of counting and tracking and obsessing. So.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks. That started with the question about, you know, what is the typical person focused on that isn't going to be helpful in quick fixes. So I think, you know, obviously you're so right. And people need to realize that they're being marketed to. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, and the reason why those headlines are on the front of magazines or the pop-ups on the internet is because they're speaking to what you think is going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. And even you're a good example, even when you make that goal, you weren't necessarily happy. Right. And mm-hmm. So I appreciate you kind of going right after the quick fix, right? Sustainable change. Lifestyle change, that's where it's at. But the reality is that's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. When you're going against mainstream media, I mean, you're going against what you constantly hear on the regular all around you, right? So I like for me, that's the, it wasn't, it's not just the 8 months I spent in school, but I continue to honestly need to, but also am grateful to do mindset work daily to remind myself of my new way of thinking, you know, mm-hmm. And you're right. It is hard, but I think once you experience that pain off, it makes it worth it, you know? Sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
One of the things that I personally learned from you in our work together was the impact of eating in a stressed condition. Can you tell us about that? That was something that
yeah.
when once you said it was like, oh yeah, but I, you know, that was me for the majority of my life. It still is me in some degrees, but yeah, when you put that out there, I was like, oh my goodness, that makes a ton of sense. So eating in a stressed condition, what's that all about?
Yeah. I appreciate you pointing that out because I had thought of it earlier and then, you know, kind of went down a different trail, but, that is, probably the easiest way to kind of put it out there for people so that they can, you know, kind of look at it themselves a little bit more if they'd like. I just want to say is, Mark David's book is called The Slow Down Diet. That goes over the 8 different metabolizers, you know, things beyond, you know, the realm of matter that affect our metabolism. And one of those is the state in which we eat, right? And so when we eat in a stressed condition, we eat fast, we eat distracted, we aren't slowing down and actually eating in the optimal state of digestion. I think the numbers were you literally metabolize only at like 60 or 70% efficiency when you eat fast or eat under a stress condition. And so simply by slowing down and being present and aware while eating, but also in life in general, that is one way to increase your metabolism right there. Like never change a day or a thing in your life that you eat, just slow down while you eat. It's one way to optimize your digestion and metabolism. And it makes sense. Like if you really break it down into, just like an example, if you were running from a lion, your life's at stake, then your brain goes into a stress response and it is not actually concentrating in any way on digestion. All that it's doing, it's like flooding your body with hormones and chemicals to save your life, right? Mm-hmm. Adrenaline kick. You can run so fast that you can maybe survive, right?
Sure.
Well, it's the same way when we eat in that condition, right? We aren't actually able to metabolize our food.
Sure.
So it's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And when, like I said, when I learned that from you, I thought, oh, it makes so much sense. But until somebody points it out to you, you know, who knows, but that was me. I was constantly eating in a stressed condition. And so I appreciate knowing that because of my connection with you. All right. So if somebody were to connect with you and say, hey, Jan, I think I need some coaching, what could they expect in terms of the way that you would work with them? Tell us, you know, what to expect from a potential coaching client.
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, at this point I'm doing just to give them a really good feel for how it would work is I do a free initial call with them because I want them to be able to know like personally what I do and just kind of experience what it would be like to talk with me and just kind of share about what they're going through and make an informed decision about whether the coaching style that I do and what I can offer to help them, whether it's a good fit for them, like that they also are making a decision and also that I feel like I can help them. Right. So we do a, you know, half hour, 45 minute call and just kind of go over what's on their mind, what's their story and all that. Then, my favorite way to work with people is I do a, or most common way is, typically following up their first, session with me, we'll go through a more thorough history of their story, you know, who they are, who they grew up as, just kind of, you know, all the details or health and medical history and just kind of get a really good understanding of what we're working with. And then we'll do typically some home, like I'll give out some homework, we call it. Not that it's something that they're, you know, going to get graded on, but it's some things that they agree with, they'd like to work on change with. And those vary from anything from, you know, changes with food to, and, you know, I'm just kind of giving me a idea of what they're eating to more commonly making changes with life. Maybe, for example, probably most simply, like one gal didn't want to eat at night. So she just said, I'm committing to this week. I'm going to you know, stop eating at this time and be, you know, start again at this time. And typically that'll go good. And then, or it'll be hard. And then we'll go over if something didn't quite work out. We don't look at it like that's a problem. That's where the work's at. Then we're looking at why was that so challenging? Okay, no problem. Like what would work better, right? So then at the next appointment, we go over how the different things we went, you know, homework items went. And, you know, if they went well, do we continue on to do them? Like putting them on their homework, or do we, you know, you got that made. Okay, let's move on to some more things. And we just keep tweaking different changes in life until they feel like they're at a better place and they're ready to do it on their own, at least for now, you know? Mm-hmm. So we do a weekly call typically to go over how the week has gone and, you know, how I can help and really to digest what's going on in life. And it becomes more like, I guess, life coaching with the specialty in eating, right? Sure. So a coaching session, you know, up to honestly an hour at this point. And many of my people, we've actually read the Slow Down Diet together. So they'll read it over the course of the week, one chapter, and then we'll digest that chapter and then move on to the next week. And it's been great because, like I said, a lot of my people have wanted more information. They've wanted to learn more about the psychology of it. So that's kind of what we've been doing. It's not that we always have to do it that way. It just kind of depends on the person. Mm-hmm. So, and then more recently, I've made available to folks, I did write a 8-week course, an online program. So for folks who would like to work through some things on their own, get to know themselves, that was my hope with the program that I created for people. It's a little quick bit of information and then a little quick video and an activity that they do afterwards to work through incorporating some of the changes I've made with mindset work and, you know, daily routine and structure and all of that. So that's been exciting. I've got a couple people, you know, working through the first week right now. And my hope with that long term is to do some group coaching calls with people that would rather be in a group mm-hmm. of people. But that's kind of in the works at this point. So.
Perfect. Thanks for letting us know a little bit about how you work with people and what they can expect.
Yeah.
All right. So this is The Upgraded Life, and this show focuses on mindset. And so you've used that word a handful of times in our conversation thus far. Jen, how do you describe or define mindset?
Simply, I guess I'd say a way of thinking, right? So when I say mindset, it's, yeah, I guess I mean it kind of like in the way of programming, you know, like that's just kind of the natural way of thinking. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that natural way of thinking is helpful to us. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's our biggest obstacle. Have you found yep. that to be true?
You betcha.
Yeah. So for people who are, you know, stuck in diet culture, what tends to be some of the mindset problems that you found?
Maybe can you just break that down a sure. little bit more? Sure. Just ask it a little bit differently.
Yeah, so diet culture is pumping us with messaging, right? And mm-hmm. and just by pure repetition and pure exposure, that is bound to influence our mindset. So what are some of those indicators that you've seen where diet culture has taken root in somebody's mindset? And then how do you work to kind of, you know, unroot that or reprogram somebody?
Yes. Okay. So, well, one example that I see a lot is kind of this, judgment or like shame mm-hmm. around our looks or our size, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, if I'm at all overweight, then I should be doing some sort of diet. Mm-hmm. you know? So I've found that a lot with people is there's just kind of some like insecurity or shame or kind of like, a feeling of like, I'm not good enough because I'm not thin enough, you know? And it's not like that it directly, like that we think about it that way, like because I'm not thin enough, then I'm not good enough. But it's this way of thinking that just kind of, I found for myself often that every time something didn't go quite like I thought, I didn't relate this necessarily like directly to my size, but that really was what it boiled down to is I kind of let that define me. I hadn't been successful on my diet, I said, right? So then every time things didn't work out the way that I was hoping, whether it be with my kids or my husband or a job at work or anything, then it was, and I need to fix my weight. It just like was this direct thing that happened, like that if I could hyper focus on my diet and just control my weight, then somehow it would all be okay, even if nothing else was going quite right.
Sure.
I don't know if that makes sense at all, but it's like this tweaky thing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I mean, it's that thing that you tell yourself, you know, and two things that I heard you say is, I'm not good enough. Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't look this way or weigh this amount, then therefore I'm not good enough. And then that comes with a, you know, heavy dose of shame on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think those two aspects of a person's mindset, they spill over into all other areas of their life, whether they are aware of it or not. So if you're, you're constantly telling yourself that you're not good enough and that you're a bad person because of that, then there's a lot of other things that is going to reflect that mentality as well.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I've realized is this like feeling of failure. It's like somehow because I didn't stick to my diet, then I'm a failure, sure. Right? Mm-hmm. And so then that kind of sets you up for, or has set me up for, until I really like tackled working on it, a feeling of failure in general in life, right? Like, it's like, well, I'm a failure because I didn't reach my goal. I'm a failure because I ate my feelings. I'm a failure because I binge ate, like, right? And it's so funky because it's just one area. Like, it's, yeah, like, I think anybody, like most people wouldn't be like proud to say I binge ate last night, right? But if you think about it, like, why is that so much worse than like, you know, some other random, like I didn't do my laundry or I yelled at my kid or I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't pay my mortgage. Like somehow that's so horrible. Right. But there's, anyway, it's just interesting how much shame there can be around our eating habits. And it's just food. Like it's an easily accessible, like, way of coping that isn't necessarily healthy, but if we're not, you know, treating, you know, using it right. But anyway, it's just interesting.
Sure. So for the person that is out there and they're listening to this and they are in their struggle, right? They have a current need or desire to lose weight or boost their fitness somehow, but they're stuck in this, I'm not good enough, and shame is on top of them. What's something that you could recommend that as soon as this podcast is done, that they could start doing to help them with that mindset?
Honestly, I think that the biggest help that I have had is honestly was recommended by you, but we took the life wheel, right? Anybody can look it up online and fill out that life wheel and look at the different areas in life and how you'd rate them, and then looking at how you want that to be. So when I sat and looked at that life wheel and realized that I don't even remember the numbers, but I'm pretty sure that the family one was, I was feeling a two. Mm-hmm. And then whatever else I was feeling and everything else, well, suddenly that became very obvious that that's something that I didn't really want to let slide. Like I wanted it to be better at home. I just, like, as far as like stress is concerned, and I didn't know how, right? So then from there, we did some affirmations and wrote out, you know, a couple of positive statements, how I wanted it to be, you know, with my kids, for instance, because that was always that I'm not good enough played in big time to everything that happened with my kids. And then the biggest help I got with that was the fact that you pointed out that those needed, or like you were careful how you said it, but you said, I like to make those action packed. And that changed my whole life, honestly, because before, affirmations to me was like lying to myself. Like, why would I sit there and say, I'm best friends with my kids? I'm not best friends with my kids. My kids kind of hate me right now because they're teenagers. They don't know what they're thinking. They love me, but they also get pissed at me, right? So they don't hate me, but you know what I'm saying. So my point being, to make that action packed, a very simple example is I now say, I'm encouraging my kids as often as possible so that they know that I believe they can be successful. So making that actionable, like if I simply tell my son, like, hey, I know you want to be nice, but could you please talk like this to your sister? Like that's positive. That actually helps him realize I do believe he wants to do the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that everybody could do, is work in affirmations every single morning. Honestly, I learned this thing recently that your tone for the day is set in the first 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And by realizing that, I was like, holy cow. Like, you can either roll out of bed and be mad at everybody else because you didn't set your alarm because you just don't know different. That was me 10 years ago. Waited till everybody woke me up. Or you can get out of bed in the morning and decide how you're going to live your life, right?
Yes.
So that kind of changed everything for me.
Right.
So thank you.
No. Thanks for bringing that forth. So I will reflect that as something that somebody can do is recognize that how you start off your day in that first 8 minutes is going to impact the rest of your day. And
yep.
A great way to kick off your day is with some, not just affirmations, as you pointed out, right? But affirmations that actually speak to things that you are doing or that you can do.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, actionable affirmations. Perfect. So Jen, thank you so much for taking the time to do this show with me. And I want to be able to let the folks that are listening know exactly how they connect, could find you and how they can connect with you. So if somebody is listening to this and they want to know more about you and the work that you're doing and just tap into what you have to offer as a resource, how are they going to be able to find you?
Honestly, I am very active on Facebook. So that's one way. That's probably the easiest way. But I also have my website, which is jensider.com. So there's that. And I'm on Instagram, ciderjen.mrs. So yeah, Instagram, Facebook, or my website.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to put all those links in the show notes so that people can find you as easily as possible, as that we can make it for them. So once again, I really, really appreciate you coming on the show and breaking down your journey to becoming a certified eating coach and describing all of the good stuff that came out of your learning process. And I know that this is going to speak to lots of people out there that plug into this show. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Jen Sider with Jen Sider Coaching. She is an eating coach. And the mindset tip that she shared is kind of a combination of two things. And as she talked about She happened to learn those two things in her work with me. But those two things were, first, there is a exercise that you can do, and I'll be sure to put it a link to it in the show notes. It's called the Wheel of Life exercise. And in a nutshell, what it does is it has you look at various areas of your life and then rate them from 1 to 10. And then what I do is I would encourage you to pick the area of your life that is most troublesome for you, the one that's causing the most pressure for you, and figure out what it would take to move that area of your life from the rating that you gave it, let's say a 2, to the next level, which might be a 3, and then maybe even up to a 4, right? So what would it take to move that area of your life from a 2 to a 4 and break it down into small chunks? Now, eventually you want to move that to 10, right? But it's hard to go from where you currently are if it's lower on that scale. It's hard to go from a 2 to a 10 overnight. But within a matter of days, weeks, and months, you for sure can go from a 2 to a 3 to a 4 and then look at what it's going to take to go from a 5, 6, 7, 8, and eventually to a 10. So that's Wheel of Life exercise. The other thing that she shared that was helpful for her was the power of affirmations. I'm a big believer of affirmations. Affirmations are part of my program that I help people with. It's part of the mindset portion of the work that I do with folks, right? Mindset, mission, and movement. And affirmations need to be action-oriented. And that's what Jen talked about. Affirmations, if they aren't action-oriented, could sound like big lies. Let's take finances for a moment. I am a multi-millionaire. Well, if you don't even have $5,000 in the bank, that's probably a big fat lie. But an actionable affirmation might sound like this. I'm taking daily action so that my finances will build up to a point to where I am becoming a multimillionaire. Or try this one out. Each day I'm dedicated to saving at least $50, because with this habit, I know it will grow and grow to the point to where eventually I am a multimillionaire. So those are the types of affirmations that I help people craft and create, dialed into specific areas of their life, and they're action-oriented. There's lots of different takes on how to use affirmations. That's the way it works for me, and that's the way I show the people that I work with how to use affirmations. So there it is, Jen Sider, jensider.com. She's an eating coach. I recommend her to anybody who's looking for help with body image and diet and losing weight. She's your gal. She's going to be able to help you. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of The Upgraded Life. If you got value from it, which I hope you did, please go over to iTunes, leave me a 5-star rating and a review. That helps put wind in my sails as a podcaster. There's nothing more that I like than to hop on and read how you all are benefiting from this podcast. Also, I'm encouraging you to go over to my website, www.nicksotelo.com. And over there, you're going to be able to schedule some time with me. Look for the big orange button, and I'll be sure to give you a free 30-minute strategy session. I'm in the process of making regular updates to my website, and so be sure to check in frequently as I'll be adding more and more resources over there. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in, taking the time to invest into your own personal development and to upgrade your mindset. This is Dr. Nick Sotelo. This is The Upgraded Life. Mindset, mission, and movement. With those three things dialed in, that is The Upgraded Life. Catch you on the next show.